My mother, he began on an unexpected note, enjoyed the curfew immensely. She was a sculptor, Phaedra Senhev. When I visited her Paris studio for the last time, she was playing you, loudly. He smiled. Thank you. She decided not to go with the dead mother. But I'm a journalist now. No credentials to coast on there. Rausch is very pleased with you as a journalist, he said. He wants you on staff. Their waiter arrived and went away for Hollis's gin tonic and Big N's Piso Mojado, a new one on Hollis. Tell me about Node, she suggested. It doesn't seem to be generating much in the way of industry gossip. No? No. He lowered his finger steeple. Anti-buzz, he said. Definition by absence. She waited to see if he'd indicate that he was joking. He didn't. That's ridiculous. The smile unshuttered, gleamed, shuttered, and then their drinks arrived, in disposable plastic that protected the hotel against barefoot poolside litigations. She afforded herself a quick scan of the rest of the clientele. Were a cruise missile just then to impact the corrugated roof of Skybar, she decided, there would be no great need for people to change its next cover. The fancy, as Inchmail had called them, seemed to have moved on. Just as well, for present purposes. Tell me, she said, leaning slightly forward over her gin. Yes? Chombo, Bobby Chombo, why did Rausch make such a point of my meeting him? Rausch is the story's editor, he said mildly. Perhaps you should ask him. Something else is going on, she pressed. She felt as though she were marching out to confront the Mongolian death worm on its own ground. Probably not that good an idea, but somehow she knew she must. His urgency didn't feel to me like part of the story. Big End studied her. Ah, well, part of another story then. A much bigger one. Your second Node story, we hope. And you've just come from meeting him, Chombo. Yes. And what did you think? He knows something nobody else does, or thinks he does. And what do you think that might be, Hollis? May I call you Hollis? Please do. I don't think Bobby's all that keen on his position in any locative avant-garde. He likes being on top of any breaking phenomenon, I'd guess, but is basically bored with the grunt work. When he was helping to invent the context of the locative thing, to whatever extent he did, he probably wasn't bored. Big N's smile opened again. It reminded her of the lights in another train when trains pass at night, going in opposite directions. Then it closed. It was like she'd entered a tunnel. Go on. He sipped his Piso, which looked a lot like NyQuil. And it's not DJing, she said, or making mashups or whatever else he does publicly. It's whatever makes him mark the floor of that factory according to the GPS grid. He won't sleep in the same square twice. Whatever makes him confident he's important is also what's making him crazy. And that might be? She thought of the wire-framed cargo container, how Chombo had so abruptly tried to yank the helmet off her head, almost pulling her over. She hesitated. Pirates, he said. Pirates? The Straits of Malacca and the South China Sea. Small, fast boats preying on cargo vessels. They operate from lagoons, coves, islets. The Malay Peninsula, Java, Borneo, Sumatra. She looked from Big End to the crowd around them, feeling like she'd fallen into someone else's pitch meeting. A ghostly studio logline, left to hover near the bar's massively timbered, corrugated ceiling, had fallen on her, the first likely victim to sit at this table. A pirate movie. Arr, she said, meeting his gaze again and downing the last of her gin tonic. Matey. Real pirates, Hubertus Big End said, unsmiling. Most of them, anyway. Most? Some of them were part of a covert CIA maritime program. He put his empty plastic glass down as though it were something he was considering bidding on at Sotheby's. He framed it with his fingers, a director considering a shot. Stopping suspect cargo vessels to search for weapons of mass destruction. He looked up at her, unsmiling. Irony-free? He nodded, a tiny movement, very precise. Thus, perhaps, did diamond factors nod in Antwerp, she thought. This isn't bullshit, Mr. Big End. It's as expensively quasi-factual as I can afford it to be. Material like this tends to squirm a bit, as you can well imagine. One rather deep irony, I suppose, is that this program, which had apparently been fairly effective, fell victim to blowback from your domestic political struggles here. Prior to certain revelations, though, and to the name of a cover company being made public, CIA teams disguised as pirates accompanied real pirates boarding merchant vessels suspected of smuggling weapons of mass destruction. Using radiation detectors and other things, they inspected cargo holds and containers while the real pirates took whatever more mundane cargo they chose to acquire. That was the payoff for the pirates, that they could have their pick of cargo, provided the teams were given a first look at all of the holds and containers. Containers. Yes. Pirates and teams provided one another with mutual backup. The teams would have amply bribed any local authorities, and of course the U.S. Navy would stay well away when one of these operations was underway. The ship's crews were never the wiser, whether contraband was discovered or not. If something were found, the interdiction came later. Nothing to do with our pirates. He gestured to a waiter for another piso. Another drink. Mineral water, she said. Joseph Conrad, Kipling, or a movie. The pirates who proved best at this were out of Aceh in northern Sumatra. Prime Conrad territory, I believe. Were they finding much, the faux pirates? The diamond factors nod again. Why are you telling me this? In August 2003, one of these joint CIA pirate operations boarded a freighter with Panamanian registry, bound from Iran to Macau. The team's interest centered on one particular container. They'd broken its seals, opened it, when orders came by radio to leave it. Leave it? Leave the container, leave the vessel. Those orders were followed, of course. Who told you that story? Someone who claimed to have been a member of the boarding team. And you think that Chombo, somehow, has something to do with that? I suspect, Big End said, leaning closer and lowering his voice, that Bobby periodically knows where that container is. Periodically? Apparently it's still out there, somewhere, Big End said, like the Flying Dutchman. His second piso arrived, along with her water. To your next story, he toasted, touching the rims of their fresh plastic glasses. The pirates. Yes? Did they see what was in it? No.